You know, sometimes as I read through Scripture, I get discouraged. I know that sounds strange to hear from a pastor. Let me explain. It's not directly by anything that Scripture says. But when I compare it to my own life, there's a big difference. We read through the Bible looking at stories and events that play out, those moments when God clearly shows up and He does big things. Abraham becomes the father of nations. Moses parts the Red Sea. David goes from being shepherd to king. Joseph spares his brothers. I mean, these are huge moments, and you read through Scripture, and it's like their life is Mission Impossible or a James Bond film, and my life is Driving Miss Daisy. It's pretty boring. We look at these events, and we might begin to believe that our life should be like this, that we should have big, miraculous moments day after day, without spiritual eyes, that we see God showing up. Now, imagine my shock when I realized that Scripture is just the highlight reel. Think about this. We have 66 books in the Bible that cover at least 6,000 years of history. This is like the cliff notes of the cliff notes of what God did. And in fact, in each of our spiritual heroes' lives, there were long, long periods of waiting. Waiting is a common experience. We wait about 32 minutes whenever we visit a doctor, 28 minutes in security lines whenever we travel, 21 minutes for a significant other to get ready to go out. I'm not sure where they got that statistic. 13 hours annually waiting on hold for a customer service, 38 hours each year waiting in traffic. And we wait for years for our dreams and hopes to come true. And a question comes to mind. Can all this waiting be something more than just wasted time? Now, I'm not going to talk to you today about how you should be listening to podcasts on your phone while you're waiting in line, or pop out that YouVersion at the DMV. No. It's going to be something a little more than that, deeper than just the practical side of it. See, all our brothers and sisters in the faith, as well as all of creation, know what it's like to wait. We find ourselves waiting along with many, some with less patience than others, but each with a lesson to offer. Each one of us waiting. It's almost like the waiting room in a hospital. As we walk into this waiting room of life, imagine with me, we find several people already there. At the counter, there's a couple decked out in leather screaming at the receptionist about something they ate. And seated calmly is an elderly man with calloused hands, clearly exhausted from years of hard work, years after he should have retired. Then there's another couple, much older than that first couple we saw at the counter, holding a baby they aren't sure is going to make it. Across the sitting room from them is a young man in a custom-tailored suit, finely groomed, clearly a man of influence, holding onto a wound in his chest. Next to the young man is an old farmer, smelling like sheep, hardly saying a word, but clearly uncomfortable from a gash across his back. At the back of the room sits a soldier, wounded by friendly fire, but smiling. Then, clustered in the middle of the room, there's a group of about a dozen men, babbling like they're out of their minds. Each of these represent the people we're going to be looking at in the waiting room of life. And then into this waiting room, you enter. Welcome to the waiting room. This week, we're going to start off by looking at a couple who ate something they shouldn't have. They're in a rush, and they're struggling with hard work and the purpose of waiting. We find their story in Genesis 3 as we look at the work of waiting. Feel free to open up in your copy of the Scriptures to Genesis chapter 3, or you can follow along on the screen. For clarification, I'm keeping you on your toes. I switched translations again. We're back to the English Standard Version. Those of you that had that from before, that's what we're reading now. And in Genesis chapter 3, we read this. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of the tree in the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths." This story of Adam and Eve shows us that in this waiting room, there is a work being done. And one of the first things that it does is it shows something about us. It shows us our want. Waiting uncovers our want. The New Bible Dictionary defines patience as God-given restraint in the face of opposition or oppression. I would add to that temptation. Patience is only needed when there's a reason not to wait. It's only necessary in the face of temptation, of opposition. This is why seeking patience is, in many senses, a real battle. It is in the waiting that God exposes what's really on our hearts, what's really inside us. That God reveals the level of our resolve to follow Him, that uncovers our confidence in Him or lack thereof. The waiting reveals what we have been wanting. The pressure of waiting reveals what is inside us. Because think about this. Do you wait for something you already have? No. You wait for something that you're craving, something that you're longing for. And if it's something that you are waiting for, it's clearly something beyond what you have right now. The waiting reveals your wanting. So let me ask you, what are you waiting for? What fills your heart? Now, some of you automatically have this extremely righteous answer: I'm waiting for Jesus to return. That's true and that's good, that's wonderful. But if we're honest, there are other things that we're waiting for. I can't wait for snowstorms to just go away. Not forever, just for spring to come in. Or I can't wait till football season starts. Or I can't wait until, well, girls, sorry, prom is already over. I can't wait for this sermon to be over. Maybe some of you are answering that. That's fair enough. But listen, there must be a correlation. In order for temptation to draw us away from what God has, there must be a correlation within us. And in the waiting, the temptation draws that out from us like poison from a wound, showing that's what's really inside you. James tells us, each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desires. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. In the waiting, God is using our wants to show us what is really inside us. Adam and Eve, if the serpent had come to them and said, "Hey, eat that fruit, it'll make you more like God," if they had had their wants proper, it would have had no draw to them at all. But they saw that it was good for food. They were hungry for it. They saw that it was good to make one wise, at least in their own eyes. Sin almost never tells you, wait. Unless the only time I have found sin and temptation telling me to wait is when God has told me to act. And then, all of a sudden, I have all the time in the world. I can come up with all the excuses of postponing that and procrastinating. By the way, that reminds me, there's a procrastinators meeting. We're going to meet sometime later. But when temptation is there, all of a sudden, you have to do it right now. We've just got to do it. We've got this urge, and we just have a complete lapse of reason that there isn't enough time to get to what we want to do. We go from trusting what God says to trusting what Nike says. Just do it. We don't take time. All too often, we live in a rushed life. And that's coming from a millennial. That we live a rushed life. There is a sense of waiting that exposes me to myself and what is truly inside me. And I wonder, what if Adam and Eve had said, hold up a second, serpent. Let's wait until God, he's due any moment now for our daily talk, so let's just wait to see what he has to say about this fruit thing. What if? But that's not how it played out. They didn't wait. They didn't take their time. So in this waiting room, we're starting with patience that have no patience. Now, they didn't wait. Eve didn't talk with Adam about it and get his insight. Adam didn't talk to God about it and get his insight. They acted on their impulses. And we've been reaping the fruit of that ever since. But at the same time, it wasn't just that Adam and Eve should have waited. That's not the main thing we get from this text. Couldn't God have shown up and stopped this whole thing? At any moment, couldn't he have just broken in? Was he ignorant of what was going on? We only see him showing up after the fact. We see this in verses 8 and 9 of Genesis chapter 3, where it says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?'" Not that he was ignorant. He knew. But God only showed up after Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit. That leaves us with some limited options. Maybe God didn't know, and he was ignorant of what was going on. Maybe God was preoccupied with something else or couldn't break into the scene. Or maybe God didn't care. Now, often, those tend to be the things we think of God when we're waiting. We sure wouldn't say it to other people. But we think, my God's weak. He can't fix this. Or my God doesn't care enough. We think God can't change things because he might be too busy running the universe and has forgotten about me. We think he is too weak, that he just isn't powerful enough or big enough to change our world. Or in our mind's eye, we imagine him up there in heaven watching us squirm like a sadistic child torturing a bug. Friends, that is not the God of the Bible. He has named every star and knows every hair on your head, or lack thereof. He knows what's going on in your day. He created the universe. He's powerful enough to change whatever he wants. And not only is he not malicious, our suffering breaks his heart so much that he broke into creation and suffered alongside us. Friends, God knows, God is powerful enough to change it, and God cares. So we are left with one final option. Why God didn't just break into what Adam and Eve are doing here. That this is all part of his plan, part of his work. See, the waiting accomplishes God's work. It exposes us to our wants, but it accomplishes God's work. At the right time, God showed up. It might not be the time we would have chosen. We would have loved to have seen Adam and Eve just walk on by the serpent going, "There's a snake talking to me, Adam. There's something wrong." And that's it. The end of the story, happily ever after. But that's not the way it works out. It might not be the time we have chosen, but God has a different and much better plan than we do. Don't buy the lie that just because God is not responding means that he never will. Don't buy that lie. Just because you don't see an answer to your prayers and waiting right away doesn't mean that God is ignorant to what is going on in your life and doesn't see what's happening inside you. The psalmist tells us, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry." God sees, God hears, God knows, and he is doing something. You just might not see it yet. Now, there are times when God breaks into creation in a phenomenal way. He changes things like dynamite blowing a hole in the ground. We call those things miracles. When God says, "Stand up, be healed, blind man, see, deaf man, hear, dead, rise." Those are miracles and wonderful things, but those are rare and by definition are not the norm. Usually, God's work is like, it's like water on a rock. Rather than the dynamite that explodes it quickly, water on a rock that is trickling. And year after year, if you just sat and watched it, you won't see the change. But if you come back after a year or several years or even a lifetime, the difference is going to be drastic. That's usually how God works, little at a time. Why he chose to do it that way, I don't know. I only know that that's the way he chose to do it. See, God's work takes time. Just because the doctor isn't in the waiting room with you doesn't mean he's not working, does it? And just because he's not giving you 24/7 updates on the research that he's doing and the articles that are passing across his desk about your condition doesn't mean he's not working. He is working. There's a whole lot of behind-the-scenes work. This week, millions of people are going to be flooding to a theater to spend 3 hours watching a movie that they have waited for years to come out. Marvel's Avengers Endgame. No, I won't give you any spoilers because I haven't seen it myself. If you give me any spoilers today, I'll slap you. I'm just kidding. Feel free to spoil whatever you need to because that's not important to me. What's important is that people have been waiting for years for this movie to come out. They haven't been complaining. They've been anticipating. They've been excited about it. There's hype. This is what we've been waiting for. And there's been stuff going on behind the scenes, countless hours spent on this behind the scenes. And all we're going to see of it is 3 hours of years of work. Folks, that's often the way it works out in our life. We see a brief moment of something that has been building up since eternity past. God's work takes time. Waiting for God's timing for all things, trusting him to work out his good plans in his time, not ours. See, look, if God is taking his time on something, if he is not responding immediately, that doesn't mean that he isn't doing anything. That just means we don't see it yet. Waiting requires of us the faith that God is still doing something good through all this, something beyond our imagination. And God's work in us, listen to this clearly, God's work in us begins when our idolization of our wants ends. God's work in us begins when our idolization of our wants comes to an end. It's okay to want, as long as that doesn't take the place of God's timing and God's work. Revealing our wants is part of God's work too. Once Adam and Eve saw their want for what it truly was, God showed up to do the work. Get this, he had planned all along. Because in time, waiting reveals God's will. It uncovers our wants, it accomplishes God's work, and it reveals God's will. God shows that this didn't catch him by surprise. This wasn't a crisis to him like, oh no, what do I do now? Oh, Jesus, sorry, you're going to have to take a hit for this one. That's not the way it happened. In fact, almost as soon as the problem presents itself to God, God presents the solution. We pick this up in verse 14 of Genesis chapter 3. It says, the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. And get this, he says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. That's not just talking about some son of Eve. That's talking about Jesus Christ. Folks, you can't get 2 pages into the Bible without seeing Jesus Christ talked about. And this is part of God's plan from the beginning. This is the plot line that the whole book is about. Jesus Christ. This was not part of a plan B. This was all part of God's plan since before creation. In his perfectly good and divine will, he ordained for Adam and Eve's impatience to bring about this fall, to expose what is on their heart. The gospel wasn't God's plan B. God is sovereign. God doesn't have a plan B. This is his plan A. In the waiting, God is working out his will. And in fact, it's only after thousands of years of waiting that we find out in the person of Jesus Christ what God was up to when he said this. We find out in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world. Let's clarify what that means. Before God said, "Let there be light," he said, "I'm going to choose some people to be saved." Before creation even began, God was working out his will in the waiting, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. Before God even created, he had chosen people to be saved. Before he said, "Let there be light," he said, "I'm going to shine a light into this world." Before he said, "Let there be dry ground," he said, "There is going to be ground made holy by the blood of my son." Before he said, "Let there be beasts on the field," he said, "I'm going to sacrifice my lamb." Before he said, "Let these people bear my image," he said, "This image is going to be corrupted and we are going to restore it." You think you've been waiting? God's been waiting since before time began. Who do you think's been in the waiting room the whole time? You know, however long you've been in a waiting room at a hospital, the doctor's been there longer. Same thing goes with God. However long you've waited, God's waiting longer than you. Goes on to say here in verse 5 that he predestined us for adoptions to himself as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. That's what has kept him through all the waiting, is his will. He has chosen, he wanted to do this to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Later on, Paul would clue us in that this was all part of God's plan in verse 10, where he says, "For the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and on earth." The fullness of time, when the time was right, God had this all orchestrated, the timing of it all. God makes his will known at the right time, but he is always working it out because waiting reveals God's will. So how do we do this? Rather quickly. First, wait for God to make his will clearly known. Wait for God to make his will clear to you. Sometimes we're waiting simply for God to let us know what he wants. We don't know what he wants us to do. For Adam and Eve, that was made pretty clear. He had given them basic commands. Here, tend this garden, bear my image, have kids, subdue creation, don't eat from that tree. And that was it. Simple to follow. Sometimes in our lives, we overcomplicate things. We want God to give us an extra sign to confirm what he has already told us. God only needs to say something once before you can count on it that he means it. But sometimes he's not made his will clearly known yet. Some of you are still seeking it out. I think we all are in some way. Some area. God, what do you want in this area? In those times, keep your eyes on him and don't move until he does. My son and I enjoy building Lego kits together. Brings me back to my childhood, and let's admit it, I'm still just a big kid. And he had to learn early on that you can't just start in anywhere in that book that they put in there. You got to start with step one. And then, I know this is really difficult, you go to step two. And then, once you've done 1 and 2, you can now do step 3. Because if you try to do step 13 before you've done 1 through 12, it's not going to work. You have to put it in a specific order. Just because something is God's will for your life at some point does not mean that we can put it wherever and whenever we want. It follows his system. So we're waiting on God to show us, when do you want this? How do you want it? He put this all together. Waiting in obedience means that we will wait until his timing and then follow his direction. And sometimes, let's be honest, some days it's hard to be patient. When we're bringing our concerns to the Lord again and again, we grow tired of waiting. Soon it begins to feel that our prayers are falling on deaf ears. Often our desire is to take control and just do the best we can. Folks, the best that you can do is nothing compared to the very least that God can do if you are willing to wait on his timing. That's our fleshly reaction to silence. So, when God's will is clear, that's the first step. Wait until God makes his will clear. And then when God's will is clear, make yourself available for God's plans. His will is the end goal, but there might be a 30-step process to get there. And God makes those plans clear over time. Not doing this is the problem the Israelites fell into in the wilderness. The psalmist says that they soon forgot his works and would not wait for his counsel. They were seized with craving in the wilderness and tested God in the desert. He gave them what they asked for, but sent a wasting disease among them. They moved without God saying it was time. Now, this doesn't mean he's going to give you a roadmap with every turn of the entire journey marked down. Anybody old enough to ever have used MapQuest online? You know, that thing that would actually give you step-by-step directions printed out? That's not the way God works. He's like a GPS. Now you turn here. Okay, keep going straight. Okay, you're going to head on that way for 150 miles. Now turn left. Step-by-step directions. What it means is that we are watching him, ready to move when he moves, like the Israelites did in the wilderness, watching that pillar of fire and smoke. And when it got up and moved, they were already ready. They could pack up and go in a moment, and they were ready to move. But they didn't move until that pillar moved. Folks, that's a picture of our life. All we're doing is waiting for God to move. God will follow wherever you want to go. You just have to show us. Waiting on God to make his plan clear. His will was, you're going to reach the promised land. Okay, what route? Just follow me. He'll let you know the route. Now, Adam and Eve, they didn't wait. They didn't make themselves available to follow God's plan. They knew God's will. Don't eat the fruit. That was the plan. That's a pretty simple plan. That apple, don't put it in your mouth. Simple. We don't know that it was an apple, by the way. It could have been any sort of fruit. They didn't make themselves available to follow God's plan. They knew God's will, but they forged ahead in their own plan based on their own will. God will eventually make the next step in your journey clear, showing you the next stage of how he will accomplish his plans. So in the waiting, we are declaring to God that we are up to do whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do it. Proverbs reminds us to trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. So once God has made his will and his plans clear, wait for God to keep his promises. When our impulses and decisions appeal to us, we have a dilemma on our hands. Do we listen to the voices screaming inside, the voices of the world screaming at us, or do we listen to that still small voice, that faint echo in the distance of our memories of God saying, I'll take care of this. I will take care of you. God does not withhold good from us. Sometimes we think if we're waiting, God's just never going to give that good thing to us. Look, if he didn't even spare his own son, but offered him up for us all, how will he not with him grant to us all things, Paul reminds us. God gave you his own son. What do you think he's going to hold back now? In fact, Moses told his people, know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. We haven't even waited that long since Adam and Eve. 1,000 generations. That is part of the work God is doing in the waiting room. He's exposing our wants. He's doing his work. And he's revealing his will. Now, maybe you're going through a time of waiting. When your timetable doesn't match up with God's, know this. Your waiting is not wasted time. It's time that God is working. He is up to something miraculous that you might not understand yet. It probably will not match up to your wants, but you can rest assured it will be great. It will be beyond your wildest imaginations what he is doing. If he is making you wait, it is for something good. Though we fail many times trying to do things on our own timetable, you need to know something about God. He never fails. His timing is always perfect. So if today, if you are in a moment of waiting, you really do just have two choices. You can stop waiting for God and try to do things your own way. That's legitimate. You have the freedom to choose that. You can follow Disney's advice and just follow your heart and let your emotions and rather limited perspective dictate your life. But before you choose that, let me encourage you to look at how that turned out for Adam and Eve. Every wrong thing in this world, every pain we have ever had, started when they opened that metaphorical Pandora's box. It will not satisfy. It will not work out the way you want it to. It will seem right and filled with promise, only to leave you craving something more. Wishing you could turn back time and take it back. You can choose that. Or you can wait on God. You can trust him. You can choose to put your confidence in him fully, to wait on his timing. God promises his people through Isaiah, the Lord is waiting to show you mercy and is rising up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a just God. All who wait patiently for him are happy. All who wait patiently for him are happy. That's not me. That's what God has promised you. If you wait patiently for him, you will have true joy, true peace, true satisfaction. You can make your heart's prayer, God, teach me to wait patiently for you. In the waiting room, trust him. What are you waiting for? Would you stand with me as we sing? This is a new song. And they have been, the praise band has been extremely patient with me because I encourage this. Let this be our prayer to God in the waiting room.
Same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Yes, I will lift you high. In the lowest valley, yes, I will bless your name. Oh, yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh, yes, I will.
Heard it once, sing it out.
I count on one thing, the same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. Working all things out. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy. All my days, oh yes, I will. by the name of all names. Nothing can stand against. I choose to praise. Glorify, glorify the name of all names. Nothing can stand against. I choose to praise. To glorify, glorify the name of all names. Stand against. I choose to praise, to glorify, glorify the name of all names. Nothing can stand against. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Yes, I will for all my days. Oh, yes, I will for all my days. Oh, yes, I will.
God, we are waiting on you. Your timing is perfect. We will lift you high even when we are in the lowest part of our life. Lord, I pray that you would build in us a patience, a confidence that you are still working, that you still have a plan, even when we don't see it. You are a glorious God, and your plan is nothing short of that. Give us the eyes of faith to see that, spiritual eyes, that we will see ourselves not as prisoners of time, but as characters in this beautiful orchestration that you have put together. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He doesn't faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wherever you are going, you are in the waiting room. Wait on the Lord.